You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 23rd, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors, USA in the search engine, and join us in studio and watch us live, subscribe for free, and you can get the podcast for free, too, in case you miss any or part of the program, larryconnorsusa.com. And I also appreciate you sharing all of those with your friends and other contacts. Your sharing and your effort is making this program even bigger every day, and I thank you for it. All right, to news and commentary. I make sure we label it news and commentary. No, I'm not just being a news anchor on this program. I actually am going to give you comments, but I'm making it clear. And I'm going to try to hide that what I'm telling you is a fact. I'm telling you it's my opinion. For instance, my opinion about this, the nationwide baby shortage, it's Biden's fault. The FDA knew back in Feb, Abbott was going to have to close down its baby formula producing, the biggest producer in the U.S. No one recognized that would trigger down the line shortages. No one? Or they didn't care. And now suddenly the Biden administration says, oh, we're on top of it. And yes, we had a plane land over the weekend, bringing in formula from Germany, and the president said, this shipment will have enough formula to take care of 9,000 babies and 18,000 toddlers for a week. Much less the low number of those who benefit, it's only going to be for a week. What's a mother to tell her toddler, and how can she communicate to the infant, I can't feed you what you need? And what I give you might make you sick, but that's the best I could do because the Biden administration put us in this debacle. More is due to arrive Wednesday. And supposedly, the manufacturer will be back up to speed in maybe 2 weeks. Then you got to get it out, right? Supreme Court issuing opinions today, but did not include a ruling on the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, that Mississippi case that would overrule Roe v. Wade. The leaked draft indicating that's what the court's going to do. And, of course, the cry continues to, we got to stop this court from doing it. And those on the left shout out, we will burn down the Supreme Court. And basically they're targeting justices. And where do we see the attorney general standing up and saying, we will investigate, we will prosecute. I don't see it anywhere. But we continue to have pressure put on parents. Go to these school board meetings complaining. The National School Boards Association now calling for the deployment of the Army, National Guard, and military police to monitor school board meetings. That's an early draft of a letter. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. That and, of course, the issue dealing with the baby formula. The World Health Organization is now adding its voice to the warning about the rise in monkeypox infections, saying we expect more cases, only a handful detected in the U.S. and Europe. 12 WHO member states have reported cases. That makes a total of 92, apparently, across the globe, and watch for the Dems to start saying, oh, we need to have more absentee voting again. I don't know what you're going to do to avoid monkeypox. You're going to have to wear, what would you wear over your face, a mask? I mean, would you have to wear a respirator all your life? Who knows? Biden and his White House are having to walk back his remarks over the weekend that we have a military commitment to defend Taiwan, and yet he had previously said it, they had to do the same thing. And we have State Farm, according to Consumers Research, a new ad campaign slamming State Farm as a creepy neighbor, suggesting that State Farm Insurance is intentionally trying to target kindergartners for discussions around transgender issues and sexual issues without notifying their parents or without their consent. This is State Farm, the insurance company, pushing books about gender fluidity on young kids. We're going to get into that in more detail, too. And, of course, the whole issue about abortions. When does life begin? And when are you willing to say you can go ahead and abort a baby? A baby. Stand by. Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I can't imagine any circumstance in which the Patriot Act would be used in the circumstances of parents complaining about their children, nor can I imagine a circumstance where they would be labeled as domestic terrorism. This is not about what happens inside school board meetings. It's only about threats of violence and violence aimed at school officials, school employees, and teachers.
Well, so he said. That was, of course, A.G. Merrick Garland when he was testifying before Congress about that the Attorney General's office was going to be involved in investigating parents who show up at school board meetings and might be labeling them as terrorists. But he said, oh, no, I can't see that happening. I just don't see that's going to happen. you know, I don't. It's hard to laugh at this sometimes because it's absolutely absurd, but they mean it. That's exactly what he was saying. That was October 2021. And he was responding, of course, to the fact that the word had gotten out that the National School Board Association, representing hundreds of schools, although many have since dropped off, said, we're not going to be part of this if that's your intent, what we're going to be doing. They had drafted a letter originally to Biden in September 21, the National School Board Association, asking that parents protesting at school board meetings to be federally looked into, which means investigated, watched, saying school officials were facing threats and violence at the meetings. And the Biden administration, since it stands for law and order, I'm sorry, I even tried that joke. I almost choked up myself. If you're driving, you'll pull off the side of the car and throw up, right? You never heard word one reference all the looting and the firebombing during this summer, did we? And there'll be more coming this summer with the Roe v. Wade decision coming down shortly. But back in 2021, September, they National School Board Association did ask Biden to Do something about this. By the way, that letter was written with the help of the White House, we found out later. They sent in, we're trying to draft it, and then they got some help from the White House. Here's how the best to do it. And then turn around and send out the final product. And then October 4, the man you just heard, Attorney General Merrick Garland, issued a memorandum instructing the FBI to collaborate with state and local leaders to address, quote, threats against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff. Now, what is a threat? I'm going to make you eat all your broccoli before you can leave the table. That's a threat. You're going to carry out on that? I'm going to throw a pie in your face. That's a threat. I'm going to firebomb your house. Now, that's a threat. I'm going to hurt you or members of your family. Yes, I would agree. But that's not that terrorism. That's just flat crime. But the draft called these parents as, quote, plotters who are targeting schools and educators. I take it back. That draft didn't. I jumped ahead of myself. I'm referring now to a new draft that this I teased in news and commentary for you. This early draft from the National School Board Association, this is not reference a letter they sent to Biden back in last year. This new draft calls for the deployment of the Army National Guard and military police to monitor school board meetings. If you had any doubt at all they were going to be spying and looking into you, well, I think this kind of tells you right now they are. Now, when you hear Mayorkas say, no, no, we're not looking at that. That's not what we're doing. Daniel Turner, the founder and executive director of Power of the Future, wrote a piece for The Federalist, and he said, if you think they're not spying on you, they are. He said, my organization, he said, also submitted Freedom of Information Act requests for records regarding the National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin because there's top domestic security lines in there suggesting just parents showing up at a school board meeting might be terrorists. That doesn't say that directly, but they know how to walk around the edges. He said, you recall the James Clapper spying scandal? Director of the National Intel under Obama responding, no, sir, not willingly, when asked at a Senate hearing if the NSA was collecting any type of data at all on millions of Americans without a specific warrant. And about 3 months after that, that's when Edward Snowden released the information showing the NSA was, in fact, collecting in bulk domestic call records and various internet communications. And they were saying, well, you just happened to be picked up. We were after somebody else, and they dialed your number by mistake, and your number now is on the list. And then they said, then you got the Senator spying scandal, or the CIA spying scandal. Senators Wyden of Oregon, Martin Henwick of New Mexico, both members of the Senate Intel, privy to classified information, warning about secret bulk collection programs the CIA has operated outside, I stress, outside the framework of the Congress, without oversight by courts or Congress. Then, of course, that Merrick Garland infamous board memo, which you just heard him deny that had anything to do with spying on parents going to school board meetings. Well, apparently the National School Board Association and this newest letter, they think that that's definitely going to happen, and so therefore more reason for us to bring in the National Guard. Bring in the National Guard for school board meetings. Could have put the National Guard in operation during the summer of rioting and looting and arson and killings. Wouldn't that have been a better idea? But some of the states didn't want to do that because people will do what they want to do. They got to have a way to express themselves, saying Pelosi and other members of the squad. She's not a member of the squad, but the members of the squad and others explaining away why there's violence in the street. We're not doing anything about it. Parents are concerned about what their kids are being taught, and rightly so. They should know what's being taught. They should be able to say, I want to see that before it's taught to my kid. That's what they did in Florida. The parental rights bill, that the parent be informed and no child in grades 3 or lower be taught anything, reference sex or racial identity or anything else like that. And if it is to be taught in those grades above the third grade, the parents are to be informed and see the curriculum. There's a teacher the other day, I don't have the story in front of me, that she had some kind of math test, and on the test she was comparing for the students to figure out a math problem. Now, for those of you who think that math can't be tinged with race or sex identity, this is what this teacher did. She had on the math question basically compare the number of monkeys and which one is a monkey. And in there was a picture of Obama. That is flat out wrong. I will tell you right now that was wrong. That was not, obviously, a leftist or a Democrat doing that. I don't know the teacher's leanings, but I would suggest ultra right. You don't put a picture of our first black president in with a picture of monkeys and make it part of a test. It's wrong, it's stupid, and yes, she should be punished. And I know the left will get upset over that. Rightly so. I would agree. But they seem to have no problem with peddling other stuff to your kids if it's in their favor. New York City has a series of books in its Mosaic Independent Reading Collection. This Mosaic Reading Collection was overhauled back in 2021. Intended to diversify the curriculum and standardize English and math instruction, according to former New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio at the time. He said, Mosaic will simplify and clarify the work of our educators and better represent our kids. So you know what's in this collection? There are titles of books. Let me read this to you. This one is called I'm Not a Girl, a Transgender Story, recommended for first graders. Obviously, the title says it all. Journey of a transgender child identified as a girl and saying, the child, no one seems to hear me. I'm a boy. No one seems to believe me, though. Another one line in the book said, the child says, I'd rather be cold and wet than not be me. Do you know there was a child holding up a poster as some of these pro-choicers gathered outside the Supreme Court the other day? A child holding a poster, I wish my mom had aborted me. One, I'd have to ask, does a child understand what the sign means and what abort means, that she wouldn't be existing? You think she understands that? That's how far crazy they've gone to that side. The crazy on the other side are the ones that bomb Planned Parenthood centers and target to kill or hurt staff members. I'm against that as well. All right, back to the books of the Mosaic Collection. This is also recommended first grade. Love is Love. It's about gays and gay people. I've told you before, I have gay friends. I do love them. I care about them. Not my way of life. It's their way of life. But I'm not judging. I leave the judging of all men to God, not me. But I don't want that peddled to first graders, and most of my gay friends wouldn't either. In fact, there's someone who's speaking out now about all of this push onto kids is wrong in the sense that this source stated, I won't give you more details in this next segment, but the source stating that it is wrong to begin to push this stuff to kids. You'll want to hear that the next segment. A couple of the other books, Julian is a Mermaid, that's recommended for kindergartners. That's, again, a transgender book. Kindergarten recommendation from the Mosaic Collection, New York City. Our Skin, A First Conversation About Race. You don't need to be having a discussion about race with K-school students. Children are children. They don't really recognize the difference in color and skin unless you want to point it out and then make them feel bad or better, whatever you're trying to do and accomplish. You cause division. You don't cause and bring unity. And then a fifth grader, here's our climate protectors. We are water protectors. Yep, we got to push that story. This is what they're going to teach if you don't watch over what's happening at your schools. When it comes to rape, obviously some would say no exception for abortion at all, and that includes rape. Some would say rape, incest, the mother's life in danger, that maybe abortion would be acceptable. That'll be up to the states if the court moves forward as we expect them to do. When we come back, we'll begin with Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush talking about how she was raped. Of course, she's all in favor of pro-choice and aborting that child, which she did. And I'll tell you more about this push children into fluid. Not good. Not good.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When I was 17 years old, I was raped. Weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. Without the protections afforded to me by Roe v. Wade, I would have been forced to birth a human being that I could not take care of, and the father would have been my rapist. The emotional devastation of this encounter was traumatic. I didn't know if it was my fault. I didn't know what to do. Did I do something wrong? I hadn't consented, but I blamed myself. The stress of possibly having a child at 18 was more than I could bear.
Those are the words of Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush in a congressional hearing. And let me begin by saying, despite some problems and issues I have with Cori Bush on a political level, on a human level, I feel for what she went through at that point and the decision she had to make when she was 18. And I want you to keep that in mind, because in the next segment, we're going to deal more with abortion and when it might be acceptable to some, never acceptable to others. And it's almost like the argument over capital punishment. I've had numerous people tell me, how can you be against abortion? And I am. But I have to admit, there are exceptional cases that I might have to withdraw my exception. I know that might not set well with some of you. But when it becomes a little bit more personal, then maybe it does change things. Such as the difference between abortion and the death penalty is, first of all, abortion is an innocent being. It had committed no crime. Capital punishment, obviously, one or more heinous crimes. The other thing being that, of course, people who are against the death penalty, I know I've had numerous arguments with them, not arguments, but trying to make it a debate until it blew up in that, and I said, well, there's no sense, we're done. Because they won't listen to reason. That if you say, okay, you're against capital punishment, what if someone did horrible things to your wife, your sister, your brother, your mother, thing, and imagine the worst. Then would you be for capital punishment? And I remember one of them saying, well, that's not fair. You're making it personal. That's the idea. It is personal. Abortion is extremely personal. And I, for women who are making that decision and later have no problem with it, I don't know what to say. There are many that do, and then they do have issues later on. And there are many out there who would love to take a child, regardless of how it's conceived. We'll get into that in more detail in the next segment. But I also told you I was going to tell you about this push to make our children gender fluid. 59-year-old guy identified as Buck Angel has gender dysphoria, refers to himself as a transsexual man, started transitioning 30 years ago. He said, right now, he said, I never felt female, but right now I'm watching what's happening. He said, I'm an elder in the community I helped build. Now I'm being told I'm old and antiquated. Our community is failing our community. We're not being loving. We're not being caring. We're being weird. He said, I see a vast, huge desire to fast track, for lack of a better form, children into this space of trans kids, put them on puberty blockers. He said, so a child says they're trans, so you're going to help them become trans. If a child says they're an elephant, are you kidding me? He said, are you kidding me? You're going to let them become an elephant? This is a transsexual speaking out saying, this has gone way past standard. This has become weird. He said, this is not a game. It's not something I can pick or choose. Once we choose this life and do what I do, there's no turning back. He said, there are some children that might benefit from puberty blockers, but few and far between. He says, it's dangerous. It's not therapy. He said, he also has trouble with all the noise around trans activism. He said, it's dishonest to say trans women are women and so forth. He said, they're not. Why are we teaching our kids to lie? That's from a transgender man. Coming up, the debate over abortion escalates. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Well, I started out with $1 million. Gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Based on your website and your testimony today, you clearly support the right to abort a 20-week-old unborn child. So I would love for you to explain to us, in your medical opinion, at what point in pregnancy should having an abortion no longer be an option?
Thank you for the question. As a medical doctor, I understand that every pregnancy is unique and different. I also understand that patients need to have access to care, pregnant people, as the pregnancy progresses, and that may be for various reasons.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you support the right of a woman who is just seconds away from birthing a healthy child to have an abortion?
I think that the question that you're asking does not realistically reflect abortion care.
In that scenario, would you support her right to abort that child?
I won't entertain theoreticals.
It's not a theoretical, ma'am. You're a medical doctor.
I am a medical doctor, and that has never happened.
Never happened in your practice, ma'am, but it happens. How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion permissible then?
That's part of the exchange that took place the other day. I wanted to focus on and bring it back to the front. Between Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, and Dr. Yashika Robinson, Medical Director of Alabama Planned Parenthood or some form of it. Because he said, based on your testimony, it appears that you're willing to have an abortion, allow and encourage abortion at any stage. But then when he starts getting specific, she just waffles. We have, each year, 800,000 abortions in this nation. 800,000. And the majority of them are minorities. What would have been minority children. There's your war against minorities, black, brown, yellow. And for some, abortion is just making that decision is no different than deciding which pair of shoes to buy. For others, it's extremely traumatic. And as I wanted you to hear in the previous segment, Congresswoman Bush admitting that when she was 18, 17, she was raped, and she wanted an abortion because she didn't want to carry the child of the father, the man who raped her, that that assault, that attack was enough to traumatize her, and she didn't want to go farther. That's a very personal decision at that point. I'm certainly going to agree with that. And I don't think she took it lightly at that time. And I don't think even those who are absolutely firm, no abortion under any circumstance, would hold to the argument and force their own child to carry a child of rape or incest or that would cost the mom's life. I'm not trying to make excuses and give permission for anything. I'm just trying to say you can't just be so cleanly defined black and white. But then again, if it's just a matter of convenience or if it's a matter that I waited this long, I thought, you know what, I don't want the baby anymore. And so Congressman Johnson is pushing that point that at what point would you say that you cannot abort? Now, here's the real crux of the issue. It's not to say under what condition necessarily, but at what point. This doctor should have been able to say, no, not at near birth. And she won't even make that statement. Now, that statement should be clear. Even if it is a woman carrying a child born of rape, if it's up to that point, you're going to kill it at that point? And the abortionist on the left and those pushing it will not concede. While I'm willing to concede, there could be cases where you're going to allow it to happen, even though you might not like it and it's wrong and everything else, but you're going to allow it. Roe v. Wade made abortion the law of the land. What's coming out of the Supreme Court, maybe later today or tomorrow, we say it's not the law of the land. Each state will make their own decision, and there will be some states that go strictly no abortion under any circumstances. The majority of the public will not buy that. We've seen that by surveys. So the majority of the public says you have to allow some instances of consideration. And the same thing for capital punishment. If they're mentally defect, killing them is wrong. Now, I'm not talking about they fake it and they get documentation which is falsifying how mentally defect they are, but if they truly are, then you got a different situation. And I would not stand for capital punishment then. But I can't, this doctor cannot simply state clearly if it were at that point, I would say, don't abort. Congressman Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, continues questioning Dr. Yashika Robinson, medical director in Alabama.
How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion permissible then?
Can you repeat your question?
If a child is halfway delivered out of the birth canal, is it permissible to have an abortion? Would you support the right for an abortion then?
I can't even fathom that ever.
I'm not asking you if you can fathom it. If it occurred, would you support that abortion or not? That's unrestricted abortion, right?
That's a question that I can't imagine. Just like you probably can't imagine what you would do if your daughter was raped. If it hasn't happened, it may be difficult for you.
You're not going to answer this question, but how about this one? How does one qualify as fully human? What makes a human being?
What makes a person a human being is them being born, number one. That's why we have birthdays. And then also their individual DNA, them having autonomy, being able to act and think.
Okay, but wait a minute. A newborn child lacks the immediate capacity. A newborn child lacks the immediate capacity to make conscious, deliberate choices. So is infanticide okay?
I think what we're here to talk about is abortion care. What you're describing is something that is already illegal, and there are laws on the books for that. So I'm not a proponent.
But see, you understand, if Dobbs is handed down, the states will be able to make that decision, and there are some that will go that far. You need to be aware.
Yeah, you do need to be aware that some will go that far. In fact, they already have. They already have had trimester abortions being allowed. When the court came up with the trimester system, the first 3 months of pregnancy, having an abortion then, the second 6 months, and third, no. But then it's begun to expand anyway. I mean, it wasn't really a ruling. It's just kind of a setting a trimester situation in front of everyone. And yes, there are states that already do allow in the third trimester. When we know a fetal heartbeat can be detected as early as days, weeks. But when this doctor says, we're here to talk about abortion care, but what is abortion care? Either way, you're killing. That's not a care. It's caring for the woman, your client, that wants to no longer have the baby. What happened to the doctor's first oath, Hippocratic oath, and do no harm? Let me take you back to Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. He was governor from 2018 to 2022. He voiced his support for a state measure that would significantly loosen restrictions on late-term abortions, third trimester abortions in cases. Third trimester. I'm going to let you hear his full explanation because I'm not trying to shortchange his answer. Listen, please.
When we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mothers.
He said the infant would be delivered, kept comfortable, resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired. Otherwise, we just put it to the side and let it die. They're discussing the fate of the baby as it's on the table next to them, if it gets to that point. Now, this statement he made was back in 2019. As I say, he was governor then, 2018 to 2022, in Virginia. He's a pediatrician. He did not like the outrage it followed. I'll explain when we continue. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Do you have a concern as a medical provider that there's going to be exposure not only to the women that are undergoing these potentially, you know, tragic health issues, but also the medical providers themselves that are going to have to sit there and ask themselves, do I do this? Because I run the risk of maybe getting prosecuted or sued for what I'm doing.
You know, one of the most important and tragic sort of aspects of legislators influencing medicine in this way is that they use language and concepts that are totally irrelevant to us as providers of that care. And when you take that in context with the reality of a political landscape that is so egregious and so aggressive, we're talking about physicians having to face a real reality where they know what the right care is, they have the skill set to provide the care, but they are so afraid to do so because 10 years from now, 5 years from now, next month, somebody might look at that care and decide, oh, I didn't actually think that patient was sick enough to have an abortion. This is really an untenable situation for medicine.
The question was being asked on MSNBC by Katie Fang of Dr. Colleen McNicholas, Planned Parenthood of St. Louis. And again, they talk about the care and the doctors being sued or providers of abortion in the future. And saying that those making those arguments, they don't really understand the care. There is no care for the fetus. But then the host made a remark. I take it back. It was Katie Fain. I want to make sure because it's supposed to be Tiffany Cross, but Katie Fain filled in for her. She also took time to heap praise upon an Alabama abortion provider you were hearing earlier, the doctor being questioned by Congressman Mike Johnson. And she called Congressman Johnson an idiot. And then she, along with Dr. McNicholas here, basically admitting that, well, they don't really understand abortions when they start talking about last minute. So I just told you, third trimester abortions are being permitted, are being carried out. And they may or may not be for a reason you would find acceptable if you're going to accept any abortion. I would ask who's the idiot, but I think it's pretty clear. Congressman Johnson could not get the doctor to even say, at what point would you not abort? Just give me that answer. At what point would you say, we will not abort the child? Even he said in the birth canal, after birth, and she said, we have laws on that. That would be wrong. It would be wrong. She's right about that. And yes, there are laws. But when it's still in the birth canal, I'm not so sure. Because each state is going to make its own, and some, as he was trying to say, may decide to push it that at any point, up to the moment of delivery, if in the birth canal, the baby can be aborted. Give us a solid answer. Is anyone in the abortion industry out there, in the Planned Parenthood, are you willing to tell me exactly when you say, no abortion at this stage. Once it reaches here, no abortion. Do you dare say that? You should. If you do that, if you stand on firm ground then and say no abortion after this period of time, then maybe you and I would have more in common and we can find some ways to reason this out together moving forward. I'm willing to do it, reference capital punishment. I told you a moment ago. I'm for capital punishment, but if you convince me that this person on death row is truly mentally defect, then no, I don't think the death penalty is the punishment. But you're not going to hear abortion providers, Planned Parenthood, they make their money killing babies. They will talk about caring for the woman. There are plenty of women's health centers that provide everything to help the woman except abort a baby. But they're going to continue to sell the lie and the narrative and claiming that if you are pro-life, you're an idiot. The very fact that they're alive to say that I'm an idiot belies their belief that abortion should happen at any point, any time, for any reason. But the left being caught up in lies is not uncommon, is it? As I mentioned earlier, we have numerous primaries underway tomorrow. Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Texas, Minnesota. I think Tennessee is also in that. The Washington Post admitting over the weekend that when it comes to Georgia, remember they were having new laws and so forth, that Biden said that would be Jim Crow 2. And that was what Biden referred to, and gubernatorial candidate Abrams saying that's going to suppress the vote of minorities. The Washington Post had to admit voter election primary numbers are surging. They interacted with one black voter at a polling place, said, I was surprised to see how easy it was to go in there and be treated with respect as I deserve and get the vote. There went their whole narrative, their whole story of voter suppression, Jim Crow 2. But they're going to hold on to it. You watch. You watch. Please join us again tomorrow. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.